All right. I feel like saying Kufar Akbar, everybody, but thank you, Connie, for making that for me. I absolutely enjoy that thing. But that's going to be the new introduction for Tuesday night's song, or theme. Rad, are you there? Did you notice, okay, we have the Islamic call to prayer in there. Yeah. And so that means that any type of attempt at copyright is thrown out, though, because it's not just playing that alone. So there you go. Thank you, Connie. And we're actually working on one for this show to start playing on Sundays. And you'll never guess what the theme song is. Anybody? Nobody even wants to guess. It's nothing to do with Lawrence Welk, I can promise you. Was that your first?
Is that the next song?
What song?
Theme song? Or
right. It was. Yeah. It's right. We've worked this out, haven't we? It's.
Yeah, is that? Do you want me to say it?
Yeah. Go ahead. You know, like the swine of humankind. Does anybody get? Nobody's getting it. Okay. Well, and that's what Danny Davis is being called here lately. Him and our friend Devin were called that the other day. Okay. So today, what are we going to be doing today? Today, I have three separate things that, or actually four separate things that we were going to address. Of course, we're going to have our friend Danny Davis and Devin. What does he go by? Like the false prophet, something like that.
Yeah.
When he calls it. Okay. So he's supposed to be coming on, and they were going to talk about their experiences this week with call in and ask an imam a question, and instead of asking a question, they get to do what? Be question. And then Rad is going to be discussing some interesting aspects of Sharia law. And he's been sending me these clips all week, and I'm going to tell you what. I've been reading some of these things, and you really don't want to read these things. I don't know. They just make you feel icky, if that makes sense. You know, sometimes you read something, and you're just like, ugh. And that's what I felt like after reading some of these things. So he's going to address that. And then John Isaac. He said that he was going to present. I asked him to present something that he had brought up yesterday when we were discussing. Do you have that, John? You're going to be able to do that? Okay. Yeah, we're going to start off with Danny because Danny has to run here shortly. He said he had to go out and see one of his friends. And, you know, if Danny is anything like me and you only have maybe one or two, it's kind of nice to keep him around. So we're going to let him. And Devin, if Devin ever gets here, he's like 1, 2, 3. I don't know if he tried to get in, if he could get in now. Well, that's okay. Well, Danny, if you could just send him, you know, if you could send him like an Instagram and say, hey, yo, whenever you plan on coming on, just let us know. And then we'll get somebody to drop out or whatever. It's not a big deal.
If you respond back, I'll definitely let you know.
Okay. No, but you got to present something, Rad. You just can't go running away. All right. Vada Via. Kicking you from the room. I'm not going to kick you, Rad. There we go. All right. So this – go ahead, Chris. It would have been more fun and probably got a little more satisfaction out of it, but I'm not into doing that. Okay, so this past week, we all know here that the imam out of Houston, the self-proclaimed imam out of Houston, Texas, has been making quite a few videos as of late. And the title of the videos are Ask Kenny, Haters, was it Hate? Is it haters welcome or hate mongers welcome or something along those lines?
Yeah, haters welcome.
Haters welcome. All right. So the haters get to come there and hate. And I've been watching a few of these in absolute amazement. And the reason why is because when he does have somebody call in, whether they come on the stream or they call in on the phone, He spends more time asking the person questions, trying to, and Issa said this while we were in the pigeonhole you, than trying to answer any questions. And then this is the important part. When he is asked a question, you only get, how long do you get to answer or get for the question? 1 minute. You get 1 minute. And then you get booted backstage. So he can answer the question any way he wants to. He can take 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 20 minutes to answer the question. And do you get a rebuttal? No, you don't even get a rebuttal. And the reason why I find this so amazing is that about 2 years ago, I had a debate. My first debate ever was with a guy by the name of Adush Shuhabat. I'm probably mispronouncing his name, and I apologize for that. It's not. And we were discussing, the topic was, I don't even remember the topic. The topic was, can God enter his creation? And at the end of the debate, we had a Q&A. Of course, Kenny was there, and Kenny asked a question. I don't even remember what the question was. And I'm like, okay, well, thank you, Imam, for your question. And I went ahead and I answered it. And I said, okay, the next. And then he starts babbling on about, but I need to respond. It's not, exact words, it's not fair for you not to let me respond, which I find completely amazing. And no, not amazing. Amazing is not a good word, is the word here, because he practices the very same thing that he told me that was not fair. So this week, our friend Danny and Devin spent some time on that show. So Danny, if you could come up on mic and please explain to us what exactly happened this week with the Imam.
Okay, thanks for having me, Eric. Hello, God bless everybody on the panel, Christian or not. So Kenny has, as you explained, this show that he airs, a series called Question Kenny for an Hour, where you go on. He prefers non-Muslims to go on, ask him a question about anything regarding Islam. He's self-claimed imam, has a lot of wisdom, so he says, when it comes to Islam. But again, you know, you go on, you ask him a question, he starts a timer. If you're a non-Muslim, if you are a Muslim or a Unitarian, then you have free speech. You know, you have free time to speak as long as you like. If you are a Christian, however, you get exactly 1 minute. We had been doing that for about, Devin and myself had been doing that for about a little over a week. We made a response video to a question that was asked of him by Devin. And we made a response video basically about his response and lack of answering questions. Apparently, after that had aired a few days later, he caught wind of it, went there and watched, and was beside himself.
Oh, yeah.
And I would dare to call him a liar, you know. So he brings me on the panel. He goes into a long speech, 10-15 minute speech, before he brings me on the panel about how he's, you know, I need to answer his question first before I'm allowed to ask the question. So he brings me on the panel. Why did you call me a liar? You know, long speech. And I said, well, I don't remember exactly what I called you a liar about in that video, because I didn't at the time. But you have lied to me several times, and perfect example is this. You know, so I brought up a hadith I had questioned him about. He went on a tangent about something him and I didn't even discuss. You know, he starts badgering me, belittling me.
Okay, you got about 38 seconds, Danny. Sorry.
Yeah, you can.
He's been so polite and such a gentleman to me the whole time, and how could I betray him like this? I'm not given, you know, I'm not even given 10 seconds to respond before I'm thrown into the back room. He goes into a long tangent, you know, name calling, and I'm the worst kind of creature, swine of the humankind, you know, I'm a nobody. He's no longer going to give me airtime on his panel. And then he brings me back up. So explain yourself. And this happened about 3 or 4 times before he eventually just kicked me off the panel. Because
right.
when it comes to the self-proclaimed imam, Kay Homer, if you challenge him whatsoever, you're out of there.
Yeah.
You know, you are not allowed to challenge him. And he doesn't actually give you time to answer a question at all. It was definitely very disrespectful. Devin and I do definitely plan on making a response video to that. And I actually, during my research, I went back to the very first time I was on his show, and I have about a dozen timestamps of where he shut me up, contradicted himself, showed his hypocrisy, you know, called me a liar, lost his temper, which I didn't even realize until I went back and saw it. The very first conversation I had with him, he lost his temper over and over again. It's real funny. I definitely advise everyone when we do that video, which hopefully will be later this evening, definitely advise everybody to take a look. We'll try to keep it short.
Well, actually, if you saw the intro to the new video, the intro video with the Hell's Bells playing.
Why did it change? It changed.
What changed?
The volume when he's about to play.
Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah, because we got a picture of Kenny slam. We took that short clip of him slamming his fist.
No, not Kenny. It's like in the beginning, it does the bells good,
mm-hmm.
but then you can't hear. You can't hear.
Just because the azan is singing. Yeah, it's because the call of prayer is there. Is that what you're saying, Connie?
We'll talk about it later.
All right.
Okay, so Kenny is consistent of who he is when he's throwing people backstage and talking for 20 minutes and asking questions rather than letting the person ask questions. So what Kenny proclaims in his book, he is.
Well,
he's being consistent.
What he was doing, this is what I noticed that he did, though, Danny. I mean, he starts a show saying, you know, call in, ask me questions. And then when you do call in, he spent a good 10 minutes calling you all kinds of nasty names. I mean, then he switched to Devin and he did the same. You guys even, and then Rad got on there and he actually let him what it was about. He didn't give Rad I know what it was. It was about apostasy. And Rad asked him, he goes, well, is the death penalty, you know, can they administer the death penalty? And we're going to talk about that in Islam, you know, if you're an apostate. And his answer is only during a time of war. Can you, I mean, that in of itself is just such a bold-faced that when you make a video about this, say you're lying about that, he gets all indignant because you're calling him out on his lies is essentially what you're doing.
Yeah, he said a line about Islam. He's lying about Muhammad, what Muhammad said, that Gabriel said, that Allah said in Surah 484, and he's lying about Ibn Abbas. So he's a liar. Kenny, you're a liar. Why do you have to lie, Kenny?
Well, it's what he does.
And if you ask me, I'll tell you that, but you won't let me on your show.
That's a fact. And he really, you know, he asked me the question, why would I call him a liar? And again, when Devin and I make this video, I'll make it very clear for him why I have called him a liar. I honestly don't understand why he has such a problem with it. I mean, his prophet authorized lying.
I mean, look at this. On 3 occasions, you can lie. Wow. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful, Kenny? You can lie, buddy. Your religion lets you be a liar, Kenny. A liar. The consistency of a man is who he is. So, Kenny, that's your consistency. You said it in your book. So you just condemned yourself in your book.
Well, one thing I was – when I was pondering after reading his book – and you guys don't have to do it. I took one for the team and did it for you, okay? Who read it?
I read it.
Dominic, you read that book? Okay, let me ask you a question about that book. let me ask Dominic a question. Okay, Dominic, after reading that book, what do you think Kenny thinks of his own country?
Badly written. I was in bookshop for years, and it's like source material. He doesn't even sort his stuff right. He kind of like there's a whole section at the back of the book where he kind of quotes different people, and all of that is like completely out of fiction. You can't, because what I did with the book was actually look up every individual source that he quotes and see if I could back up. I couldn't find anything. Like, there's one text I just couldn't find anything because you know in university you have to prove like primary and secondary sources.
Oh yeah, yeah. You actually have to write a bibliography in the book, folks. Give you the short answer of that.
When I was going through the book, I was just highlighting the stuff that was wrong. I've got a lot of highlights through the book. Like, okay, this is wrong, this is wrong, this is wrong. And it's like there's just highlight after highlight after highlight. It's like he's taken that verse out of the Quran out of context, or he's taken that person out. There's just so much wrong with the book. That's what I was calling it.
Because
I think fiction would be.
I've gone through the book, and if you can see, well, you can't see here, but if you look. I have all kinds of pages highlighted. I've gone through the book and looked at it extensively. And you can, every single, without exception, almost every single page, you can see this hatred, this bitter hatred he has for our country and its founding principles. And when you read that, you can tell a lot of. It doesn't matter what the heck he says. He's a bunch of blabbermouth anyway.
Yeah, but I know what he says.
Yeah, that. But it was. That's not what I was saying. It was the consistency of somebody's character is what I'm. Well, whatever he says, and the consistency that I find in this book is that he hates our country. He hates our country with passion. And this Islamic supremacism that I'd like to see that happen, but this Islamic supremacism that he has come through, it comes through in every single word and every single page of this book, and you can see it also by the people that he panels on his show. It really is sad. And what I can't imagine is why somebody would make a live stream. That live stream was 8 hours, guys. Who does a live stream for 8 hours? Besides Dr. Kufar Phobia, I mean, he did one. Is he here? Is he? There he is. Yeah, Dr. Critical Thinker. Yeah. Oh, was it 4 hours? Well, he had a marathon last night. When I finally did. Go ahead, Chris.
You know who does streams for 8 hours?
Yeah, there you go. Then why the heck ain't I doing one, for crying out loud? All right, so when 9 o'clock...
Is Saudi Arabia paying Kenny? No, it doesn't make any sense.
Doesn't matter how bad they are. But you can look at any Muslim apologist, go to their YouTube right now and just see how many subscribers they have. Here's like 4,000. Christians don't support the apologists as Muslims, the apologists. Sam's been doing it. He has 40,000 still. Like, he should have a lot more from the amount of information that man puts out. Like, when he's doing a biblical topic and it's a serious teaching, there is a lot of information and teachings that Sam's doing. But the difference is Muslims don't care what is going on. They support their apologists to try to spread Islam. And that's what I see the biggest problem is.
Hmm. Well, I've jumped over to, let's see here. Let me see if I can share my screen. Share. I just jumped over to his page, and it says that he has 20,000 subscribers to his network. Okay. But if you look down here, this is just 4.49. So he's got 4,500. Yeah, that's really, I mean, that's exactly right. They get a lot of support there. But you look at the number of views, you know, the number of views are not consistent with number of subscribers. Like, we just, this network, and don't think that I'm concerned about it. We only have like 300 subscribers to this network, but yet we consistently get over 100 views for each video. So that's like one third of the people who subscribe to this are watching the videos. But if one third of the people that subscribe to his, he would have, what would that be, like 6,600 views for each video is what you should. Yeah, but that's neither here nor there. This isn't about getting views or subscribers or anything like that. But what it is about, and I think Chris hit the ball on the head, is supporting other people out there. For an example, you get Devin. Devin's started his own YouTube channel. I've already gone over and subscribed to it. I've subscribed to Chris's. Who else here has a YouTube? Oh, yeah, Steve, of course. Steve has one. Yeah, and Steve goes like live every 10 minutes, I think. He's paying attention. He's out there. Yeah, and then the Kufar Phobia. So, yeah, go out and subscribe to their channels, folks. And Chris is absolutely right. You know, support each other on this. And when, you know, you're driving down the road like Steve is right now, tune in. There's nothing wrong with listening to a brother's talk.
When I'm at work here, what I do is I put either Sam's live stream on or TA Apologetics or Steve's or Dr. Kufar Phobia's, whoever's, and I'll just turn it down. A lot of times I'm not talking into the chat, but I'll like turn it right down and put my phone somewhere so that I'm still into there and being able to support them, even though I'm not actually physically there.
Yeah, and that's what we need to do with each other. And the more that you listen, the more informed that you are. And the more informed that you are, you can come to panels just like this, or go to their panels or whatever, and get the word out about what's going on. What happened to Danny? Danny just dropped out. It looks like he's coming back in. You're not connected, Danny. It doesn't say that you're connected. I can't admit you.
You'll be in a minute.
Okay. How many people we got over here? Jesus Worldwide. There, let me put that there. Yeah, I appreciate that. Okay, Danny, there you are, sir. What do we do? Lucia? Where'd he go? Add to stream. There, now he's back in.
Not sure what happened.
You got dropped. That's it. I've noticed that the internet in California sucks. I don't know what it is out there. Steve, you know, he'll be in his kitchen, and we can sit there and, you know, actually count the number of noodles he's dropping in the pan. He goes to his living room, and he's, you know, it's in and out. You know, you can't hear a thing. So I don't know what it is with that state. We were in Wyoming 2 weeks ago. The Queen and I went out there for a vacation. There's no internet service in the entire state. I don't know what they do out there other than, you know, ride their horses around. I saw some of that, but I don't. There's no internet in that Montana. You guys need to step up your game out there somehow. Okay, so what else are we gonna do you want to discuss about that, Danny? That went on. You're gonna do a live stream, you said, with Devin.
Because actually, even in that video, I'm not sure if he watched it, or at least the front part where myself, Devin, and Brad were on. But when the time he had me on, he calls me a liar when he has me in the backstage. And then I come on to the – he brings me on the panel. And I say, Kenny, you just called me a liar for something that you know clearly that I didn't lie about. And he flat out denies, I didn't call you a liar. Did anybody in the chat, did I call him a liar? I'm like, Kenny, you just –
Right.
You know, so I definitely got the timestamp for that. So, you know, when I put the video together, I wanted to put it together in a way where, you know, he asked the question liar. And then I'll just go into all the reasons, you know, all the times that he's lied. So at the end I can say, this is exactly why I call you a liar, because as he says, the consistency of a man defines who he is. Well, you lied to me on several occasions, therefore, in my opinion, you are a liar.
Sure. Yeah, and, you know, with what I saw...
Into his own book.
What
his own book even condemns him, just like Islam. Islam is condemning, so here, Kinney wrote a book, and his own book is condemning him now.
Well, he said, here's the one thing that I did notice, Danny, is that the reason, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe the reason why you and Devin were forced to make this video is because he will not allow you to respond to his answers. He will not provide that engagement, that back and forth, in a conversation. So the only way for you to actually address what he is saying is to make separate videos and to say, hey, look, he is lying about this, because if he didn't want to okay, so somebody is trying to enter, so somebody needs to go backstage. All right, Chris. Oh, you're volunteering Issa to do it, Chris? Is that what you said? No. No, it's okay. I'm thinking, okay, we just had half the panel drop out. All right, that's cool. So whoever it is, it's not going to happen again. Yeah, that's fine. They normally just go over to chat. I don't know. It just said that somebody was trying to get on. I don't want to make sure that with Devin, he can get in.
Yeah, it is Devin.
Okay, can you just text him and tell him to jump right back in? We got enough room now. And you know, just as soon as that happened, you get this flash, this message that says, hey, for the higher, but you can't do that. If the next plan up, you can still, the maximum number of people that you can have in the panel is 10 people, even if you do go up the next one. And they sit there and they shoot that advertisement right up there in front of your face, because you can only have a maximum of 10. The number of hours that you can broadcast, it's because I got like the $25 plan where you can broadcast for 4 hours, and you can do as many times as you want, but you can't exceed 4 hours in any one time spot. Where if you get the next one, which is $50, I think, a month, you get 8 hours. You can broadcast for a maximum of 8 hours, and then you can still only have up to 10 people. So the 10 people seems to be about the max, regardless of what plan that you have. All right, there we go. Oh, that's okay. Ed is here. Steve's here. Okay, still, he's not. I'm going to – oh, my goodness. It's still not him. Okay, so what I'm going to do is – okay, Issa, I'm going to – can you go ahead and go to chat? And then – all right, thanks. And then if you – yeah. No. Just go ahead and drop out, and then when Devin and Danny are done, then come back on. Because we definitely want to – I definitely want to talk to you. Okay. Adam says in chat, let's see. Adam says in chat that he's done 6 hours with the $25 plan. Well, it might have been because we were at Dr. Kufar Phobia's show yesterday. Well, I did get on because you had exceeded. What was up with that?
Well, what happened is I have the free plans.
Oh, okay.
When I started the show, I had like 3.5, but they're very nice. They won't drop the thing. They'll let you keep going, but I guess you're not allowed to have anybody else come in once I reach the limit.
Okay. Well, I'm not sure how. So you get 20 hours free a month. Is that what you say? You don't have to pay a thing, and you get all the same bells and whistles, the number of people.
Yeah, it's 20 hours, but the only difference is I could only have 6 people.
Okay.
So
yeah, it's either that or do a Zoom again, and that was so. I'm never going back to that again, because what we would do is that we would have – you can have as many people on the panel as you want, but even with that, That's still, you know, everybody and their brothers wanting to talk. And then on top of that, at the end of the day, once the recording's done, you have to turn around and download the recording and then upload it back into an MP3 format and then upload it to the server or to the show. So it's just, you know, it's just, I don't know, it was a big mess.
Look at using OBS, because OBS will stream directly to the YouTube. Now, the only thing is you'll have to use something like Skype or Zoom, and then you can broadcast the people on the Skype over to OBS. And there's actually just some really awesome videos on how to do all sorts of things between Skype and Zoom and OBS.
You've told me about this, and my problem is I'm just too lazy to learn. You know, so once you get, you know, once you learn, I'm not going to be honest with you. You know, once you learn, yeah, Adam, that's exactly right, Adam. Adam, exactly right. Okay, but with the OBS, does that you can stream to Facebook? But do they allow you to stream to YouTube and to
anywhere.
Facebook?
Anywhere. It just you have to do everything manually, and you can do anywhere. But it is very resource hungry. You need like a good GPU.
Yeah,
so that you can give the processor to that, and you have, need to have a good CPU and good GPU and a lot of RAM. That is a resource hungry program, and it's.
Yeah, and that, I've looked at, and see, I have enough problems just running this little setup here and then trying to manage everything, getting people to talk, trying to get an answer, trying to stay on, you know, let alone having to try to manage an entire studio, because I've looked at that OBS thing, and it just, it just seems too complicated. Devin, the false prophet is here in the house. Sir, how are you today?
Shalom to everyone. I'm blessed by God's grace. How is everybody today?
We're all here.
His voice on YouTube somewhere.
His on. Well, he goes by. What do you go by? You go by
Brother Jacob.
Brother Jacob. Okay. Well, I thought it was like the false. It's not the false prophet.
Whatever name of my channel is, the false prophet.
Ah. Okay. Yeah, there
okay,
you go.
How are you today?
I'm doing good, Adam Speaker. How are you?
Doing very well, praise be to our Lord.
Okay, so Devin, let's. Danny has shared a little bit about your experiences this past week and previously with the imam from Houston, Texas. So what would you like to share with us, if anything important? Because I don't ask you anything particular. I'm just going to leave everything open for you, what you want to share.
Okay, well, do you mean just anything, not just...
Well, whatever you want to do, it's up to you. You know, we don't. Okay, hold on. We don't want to talk about how bad the Yankees suck this year. We don't want to talk about that. Okay.
Okay, well, I would like to turn everyone's attention to a particular hadith. And actually, I have a video on this hadith I'm about to share on my channel.
Okay, when are you going to be doing that? When are you going to be sharing that video on your channel? When are you going to be doing this? Oh, okay.
And I presented it to Kenny Ballmer, and he lied about it. And I made a follow-up video exposing him when he lied. And this hadith, Brother Eric, is there a way that you can share this hadith to everyone?
I might be able to. It depends on if we tell me what it is. Let's see here. Islam, Sunnah.
If you go to sunnah.com.
I'm there already, brother.
All right. And if you type in the search box, if you type, never does Allah back out of his promise, It'll come up.
Okay. Never does Allah back out of his promise. So let me bring it up. There we go. Got it. Jibril, peace be unto him, made a promise with the messenger of Allah. Okay, is that the one you're talking about right there?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Do you want me to read it?
No, I got it. Okay, Jibril made a promise with the messenger of Allah to come at a definite hour. That hour came, but he did not visit him. There was a staff in the hand of the messenger of Allah. He threw it from his hand and said, never does Allah back out of his promise, nor do his messengers. Then he noticed a puppy under his bed. Okay, hold on a second. Then he noticed a puppy under his bed. Oh, Aisha, when did this dog enter? She said, by Allah, I don't know. He then commanded that it should be turned out. No sooner than had they expelled it, Jibril came, and the messenger of Allah said to him, you promised to visit me. I waited for you, but you did not come. Whereupon he said, the dog kept me from coming. We do not enter a house in which there is a dog or a picture. Is this Sahih or Diet? This has got to be Diet. I mean, what's the... Is it real?
Yeah. Let me explain, okay? As you just read, this hadith is telling you that Jibril broke a promise. Now, we all know that angels in Islam, they don't have a free will. And even the Quran says that angels, they follow the commands of Allah, and they send his messages to the messengers, okay? So, as you see, Muhammad, he also reiterates the fact that Allah and his messenger never break their promises, because as you read, it was Allah when the promise was not made. It was Muhammad when the promise was not made in a hadith. He threw his staff. And then he said, never does Allah back out of his promise, nor do his messenger. So this is Muhammad confirming in his hadith that Allah and his angels can't lie. So this creates a problem for the Muslims, because now they are faced with a dilemma, because they have to say to themselves, did Muhammad lie when he said never does Allah back out of his promise, nor do his messengers? And did Muhammad lie when he told Jibril that he showed up late? And Jibril gave a excuse why he showed up late. So he admitted that he broke his promise. Now, the problem that this creates for the Muslims is this proves that the so-called Jibril, who the Muslims claim visited Muhammad in the cave, it was actually a demon by the very words of their prophet, because it was Muhammad who said, never does Allah back out of his promise, nor do his messengers. And the moment that Muhammad in his hadith, the very moment when he started entertaining this thing that broke his promise, at that moment, he was entertaining a demon. Because he is the one who said, never do Allah and his messengers back out of a promise. So once that thing told him, made an excuse, and he continued to speak to it, that means at that moment, he was entertaining a demon. He was aware of it. He was entertaining a demon. So this hadith alone proves that the Jibril of Islam, like we've always been saying, was actually a demon. And I showed this to Kenny Bomer, and Danny can be my witness. I showed this to Kenny Bomer,
and he diverted,
and he evaded from his hadith, and he ran.
Well, what did he say? When you said, okay, when you, okay, Devin, when you say that he diverted and he ran, what do you mean by that? What did he do?
He changed the question, and he started focusing on the part of where it says angels do not enter a house where there is a dog or a picture. He started talking about, well, dogs are dirty, so this hadith is about Allah sending Jibril to give a lesson to Muhammad that dogs are dirty animals and they don't enter the house where dogs and pictures dwell. That's what his excuse was, and he totally avoided the point about Jibril breaking the promise that was made.
So he's okay. Let me get this right. Okay, so here you have a hadith that says, all right, let's just go back through this. I want to make sure I understand this. Okay, so Jibril, of course, we know is a real angel, right? He made a promise. Okay, he makes a promise with Muhammad to come at a certain time, and that hour comes, is what it's saying here, and he did not come. Okay. And there's a staff in the hand of the messenger, and he threw it from his hand and said, never does Allah back out of his promises. So here you have a hadith. This is what your point is. Your point is that you have a hadith. Jibril makes a promise to be at a certain place at a certain time and does not come. Kenny's excuse for this is that there's a puppy there, and puppies are nasty. Is that was his explanation?
Because they don't lick their ass.
Yes.
But cats do.
Yes,
so dogs are dirty because they don't lick their ass. But cats are clean because they do lick their ass. I mean, I hate to put it bluntly, but that's in a sense what Kenny was saying.
Yeah, she's right.
No, okay.
He diverted from the main issue that Jibril broke his promise. And what he did, he used mental psychology to divert his audience that was listening away from the main point. He was trying to stay away, and what he did, he drew everybody's attention, and he just started talking about, dogs are dirty animals, and this, that, and yeah, but he stayed away, and he wouldn't allow me to make a rebuttal. He put me in the backstage, and he wouldn't let me speak.
Okay, well, that's something that I've pointed out continually, that even though Kenny thinks it's completely unfair for somebody to ask a question, you provide the answer. It's completely unfair for the person who asked the question to not provide a rebuttal to the answer. But yet, he did that to you. Is that what you said?
Yes, I've been on his show several times, and I'm like the hardest person he has to deal with. But he don't want to show that he's afraid of me, so he'll say, "Okay, we got this. It's homophobic," and he'll let me in. Then I might say, he might hear my question and realize that he can't deal with it. Then throughout the duration of me speaking to him, he'll keep hitting a mute button. Okay, I'm about to send you to the backstage. And he'll send me to the backstage. And then I'll be writing notes like, Kenny, let me in. What are you afraid of?
Okay, so have you ever been treated fairly there? And
never been treated fairly. It's always hitting a mute button, sending me to the backstage. And then He'll say he answered the question, but he never answers anything that I ask.
Right. Well, do you have any expectation of ever being treated fairly there? I mean, would you expect that time would ever come? Do you have an expectation that you would ever be treated fairly there on that channel?
To your question, no. And I understand that. And the reason why the only reason why I go on his channel is to get him busted. Basically, just to use him as a prop. Show people how easy it is to get these Muslims in the corner. Once you get them in the corner, they don't know what to do. And then they get emotional and start using ad hominems instead of dealing with what you presented to them.
Right. Yeah, because I've sat there and listened to him rant on for 5 straight minutes, calling Danny Davis everything under the sun, calling you everything under the sun, but just as soon as you came a name. And here's what just absolutely amazes me. He requires you to be respectful to him. This is what bullies do. And this is why I would never go on his show, and this is why he would never be allowed to come back onto this show. It's because he's nothing more than a bully. And when you stand up to a bully, it just drives them crazy. And that's what people need to do. You know, when people, and this is another thing that I've always pointed out. When you go onto that show, what you're doing is you're providing him some sense of legitimacy as to, we actually care, what he thinks. And that's just it. I really don't. But when we see Christian Brothers go on there and they try to engage, and I get it. This is what, I mean, Rad's gone on there and you've gone on there. Danny's gone on there. Issa's gone on there. Connie tried to go on there.
She's afraid of me.
Yeah, well, yeah, well, because you won't sit down in the corner and shut your mouth.
Well,
you better get with the program or don't go on this
program. My father, I don't back down to Oli.
Okay, well, that's what he does. And this is, you know, you're going on there with the intent of engaging and trying to get a legitimate answer. But for him to sit there and say, well, you have to be respectful to me. You can't – didn't he have you change your, like, your icon or your screen name or something when you went on there?
Yes, he said, okay, originally, for those who, some people might be subscribed to my channel, I don't know, but on my channel, my avatar is like picture of, it's a famous picture, it's like this older Muslim with a little child bride.
Oh, I've seen that, yeah,
Before, he would allow me to come in on his show, that avatar, but for some reason, this day, he was like, and you have this offensive avatar, you got to take that down, and as a matter of fact, your name isn't Brother Jacob. When you first introduced yourself, it was Devin. It was something like, he said, your name is Devin. I said, Kenny, will you please address me as Brother Jacob? He said, no, I'm not going to call you Brother Jacob. I'm going to call you Devin. So that's why he changed the name. Like, you sit down with saying Devin. That was Kenny did that.
Wow.
So I was like, okay, I want to get you busted still. So I didn't have no problem changing the avatar just for StreamYard on my channel is still up.
Okay. And this, Danny, if you look at the screen, Danny, I think, has done a good job of expressing exactly why, you know, if you win one person to Christ and have to endure that sham, scam, or whatever he calls that show, then, you know, I get it, Danny, and that is the right thing to do.
Hey, can I jump in there for a snare?
Absolutely, Mr. Claus.
Right. Thank you very much. It's awesome to see you, Devin. I've been watching your videos on YouTube. Finally, good to meet you. Other than that, we have what? Do we have 10 in here? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
10, yes.
We have a Muslim in the chat named No Choice.
Who? No Choice.
His name is No Choice. He seems like he's asked if he could have the link so he could come on to the show to be able to discuss Hadith.
Okay.
I believe that was just posted.
I can drop out.
No, Adam,
yeah,
I think you should stay here for a minute.
Hey, I said it first, so I think I should drop out.
Okay, quit trying to bail, guys. I mean, good night. All right, so let me.
You guys can continue, and I'll get the link in the chat. You just keep talking.
Okay, so
okay,
you. I don't know. I've never tried to drop out a ticket.
Can you put him backstage?
Let me see.
Eric,
remove from stream. Yep, I just did.
All right. I'll get talking to you too.
Okay. All right, so listen, when this guy comes on here, we're not Kenny, guys. Let's let him talk and let's not show him how Christians act. And even if you disagree with him, you know, I'm not going to let him talk for 10 minutes, you know, and give dawah for 10 minutes, but we're going to stay on topic. But let's remember our manners when we deal with people.
You'll be another Anon. We'll be good, Eric.
Okay. All right. I'll put you in the corner if you don't. I know. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I got that. Okay. I'm going to tell you, Connie went to a gun show yesterday, and she's dogging me out by sending me pictures of the gun show. And I think she was doing that intentionally. So I'm looking where I am. I'm like, come on. But, you know, when I was getting these pictures, you know where I am? I'm getting these pictures. I'm sitting on my pontoon going, well, I don't care, you know, because I'm sitting out here in the sun, soaking it up, having a good old time. Okay. Let's see. Thanks. Let's see. No Choice. It is not full. We only have 9 people here. Let me see. If I have I'm gonna kick from the studio. There we go. Okay, Kufar Farbi, I'm sorry, I'm gonna kick you from the studio.
No choice.
All right, there we go.
What's his name? I was trying to get his name.
He goes by No Choice.
He's gonna give his name as soon as he comes up on
Oh, okay. Should we make him? Should we make him show his face too? Should we make him show his face? You have to show your face. He can do what he wants. No, if he wants. There we go. Uh oh. Well, there you are. No choice. Welcome to the show. Hello.
Thank you very much, Eric. Yeah, hiya.
Okay, let me get this right. You don't sound like you're from Texas.
I'm not from Texas. I'm from the UK.
Oh, I would never. I've never thought of that.
Australia?
No, from UK.
Where in the UK? Do you know West Sussex?
Yeah, vaguely.
Okay, so I'm from West Sussex. All right, so no choice before we continue. My name is Chris Claus. So what would your actual name be?
Oh, you want my actual name, my real name?
Yes, sir.
Okay, Joe. Okay? You happy with that, Chris Claus?
Yeah. It's not your real, but I'll take it. All right, so Joe.
Yes.
What did you want to talk about? You want to talk about that hadith, didn't you?
You was talking about the hadith completely out of context. I'm not sure if you're familiar with the... I can't hear you, Chris.
Talking, I was letting you speak.
Okay, are you speaking?
Yes, I am speaking. So if you're familiar with Islam, the treatment of animals, how animals should be treated, that hadith, first of all, can you tell me, bring the hadith up? Okay, this hadith here, or is it da'if, first of all?
It is actually sahih, coming from Sahih al-Muslim. So, Ziyadu Salihin is narrating this hadith, taking from Sahih al-Muslim, and you can see that. It is present in Sahih al-Muslim 2104A as well. Please carry on now.
No, from the beginning. No, this is what I'm asking you. I asked you if this hadith is Sahih. And I want to know the sir behind the hadith. What is behind this hadith here?
So you give it.
Is it talking about? Just first of all, let's see your knowledge with regards to this hadith. Is it talking about a specific type of animal, or is it talking about dogs in general? Is it talking about a specific incident that happened, or is it talking about? Is it talking about that when a Muslim sees a dog, he should just kill it because it's a dog?
Well, why don't you read it for us?
Well, no,
guys, let him speak. Okay, so he's asking, is this for a general time, or is this, is that what you're saying, Joe?
Yes, and also, this is what I'm saying that it is for food, or to prevent it from harming people, okay?
Where?
No, guys, let him.
Hold on, everyone, give me 1 second, please.
I'll give you
the reference. What was the purpose of this hadith? The purpose of hadith was that Jibreel did not come when the promise he made with Messenger of Allah. We don't care whether it is the black dog or the bad dog or the good dog. That is not the problem.
Stop, listen.
Go to the question. Why did Jibreel? That is exactly what Kenny did. Hold on, when you were speaking, I wasn't. That is exactly what Kenny did. That he changed the purpose that we were showing the hadith to, the dog part. We are not considered about the dog part. What we are considered about is that Allah and His messenger, the Jibreel, made a promise. Listen to the question first so that you could answer properly. So Allah and His messenger, Jibreel, made a promise that they will come to Prophet at a certain time. They did not come at a certain time. So Allah and His messenger, the Jibreel, broke the promise. Now, that's right. Where the problem is.
Now,
Allah should never break His promise, whether it is a dump in the house or it is a dog in the house. It does not matter. That's the purpose of the hadith to show.
Okay.
Please do not go towards the dog. Come to the promise of Allah. Thank you.
Okay, Adam, first of all, completely misquoted that hadith. So,
I'll
explain why. So first of all, he didn't mention anything about a black dog or anything, but then he knew where I was going to, and then he said, don't talk about the black dog. So I'll just put that aside for 1 second, and I'm going to give you an example in today's day and age.
Hey, Joe,
I'm not going to let you just waffle your way through this chat.
No one's going to answer the question.
The question was, why did Allah and Jibreel break their promise to the messenger? Why did that happen? Answer that for me, please.
He didn't. Find the messenger.
It just shows it did.
No, he didn't. And that's what I was trying to say.
Then why didn't
Jibreel
made
a promise? Let him speak, guys.
Let him ask.
Why didn't this guy come in that hour?
Well, that's what I just want everybody let him answer, but you got to stay on topic. We're asking why he broke his promise.
I'm going to stay on topic, but what I want you to do is listen very carefully, because when I'm trying to explain, you're then asking me to go back to something. But in context, I'd like to give you an example in today's day and age, and I think Dominic can relate to this, right? So we all agree that foxes are adorable animals, aren't they? They're lovely and gold and fluffy, and they're beautiful animals. Here in the UK, we have something where you're allowed to kill fox hunting for a certain amount of time. Now, Dominic will know all about this being from the UK. And if I wrote, so Dominic's nodding his head in agreement. So if I then, if someone then wrote a book or wrote something about people in the UK killing foxes, right, there would be no difference at all to this, right? So the question I'm asking you right now is, did Gabriel or Allah break their promise? No, they didn't.
Yes,
because you're not reading hadith in context. You're not understanding that this is not talking about all dogs in general. Otherwise, Muslims would be killing dogs every year.
Okay, well, I'm just... No, but I don't care about all. I'm asking you, did Gabriel say, A, I'm going to be there at a certain time. B, he didn't show up at that time, so that means C, we got a dog. This makes no sense.
And he didn't show up.
Well, just didn't show up, and he says, "Well, the reason why I broke my promise is because, well, you had a dog, and it wasn't just a dog; it's a puppy."
Joe, this is plain and simple. You're wanting to throw in everything else except the baby and the bathwater to explain something that's
not
there.
If we look at foxes and talking about states and time.
Let him go.
We can actually read, okay? Why don't you try it now?
Let him talk. Come on.
So in context, Sahih Muslim, book 21, right? Abu Hatim reported, I said to the messenger, I set off trained dogs and they catch them for game. And I recite, to come up with my over it, I slaughtered the game by reciting Bismillah al-Akbar. Whereupon he said, so in context, you can see this has nothing to do with Gabriel or Allah, but then you can see what it's talking about the God.
Give
me 1 second, please, if you don't mind, Chris. Oh, okay, please, if you want to go, you can go. Otherwise, I just wanted to bring him to an attention that we don't care whether killing the black dog is asked by Allah Messenger or not. Forget that part. We are not saying it's moral or immoral. That is not the point. The point is, why did Jibreel not fulfill his promise and not come at the right time? That's all. I'm not care whether it is moral to kill the dog or not moral to kill the dog. We are not even discussing that. Why are you bringing that? That's what I am saying. Now, answer the part where Jibreel did not come at the promised time.
Can you show me the hadith again, please? Because I've just got something complete. I've got a hadith in front of me that doesn't quite write. So, right there, Jibreel made a promise for the messenger of Allah to come to. There was a staff in the hand of the messenger.
Let me tell him reading.
Yeah, I did that right.
Jibreel made a promise with the messenger of Allah to come
right.
at a definite hour.
Right.
That hour came, but he did not visit him.
Okay.
So a promise was made, a promise was broken. Why was that promise broken?
Okay. Do you know what? From the example I'll give you, so let's just say that is true. Let's just say that Gabriel made a promise to Prophet Muhammad and he didn't fulfill that promise.
It is true.
Right, it's right there in front of you.
You don't have a choice but to agree with it.
All right, I agree with you, no problem. But then I can give you so many...
How about for Islam?
Just
Islam.
But we're not talking about the
Bible. Running through the Bible now. Running through the Bible now.
Joe, okay, Chris, go ahead.
Answer for this hadith. For Islam, not for Christianity. So why did Jibril not come when he was supposed to? Why was that promise broken?
As a test to the Prophet, peace be upon him.
So your Allah,
say that?
So your Allah can break promises then?
Was it Gabriel that made the promise or Allah?
Where does it say that?
I'm asking you.
It's Gabriel. It's a
Gabriel made the promise.
We're going to say it's a test.
No.
Hold on, Joe.
Go on, Chris.
Who sends Gabriel to the prophets? Who's the one that does that?
Right.
And, whoa. Does the angel have his own will to do what he wants, or does he only have the will to obey what Allah tells him to do?
So you're asking me why did God test the Prophet Muhammad?
No, I'm asking you if Allah can break a promise.
No. Right, I'm going to get...
No, you've answered the question. Let me answer here. You said no, Allah cannot break his promise, but
you.
Jibril can.
No.
So now Jibril...
No, I didn't say you
can
words in my mouth.
Is that what you're saying?
No, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying to you is this. When God commanded Abraham to kill his son, did he lie to Abraham?
Here we go again.
No.
Did he lie to
your
son? The Bible can be totally erased.
No.
And this question still stands.
Right. The Bible is erased, but this story
before you answer, let me just say, folks, let Chris and Joe have this conversation. Everybody else mute yourself so we can actually have a reasonable conversation here.
So I'll only refer to the Quran. In the Quran, when God said to Abraham, kill your son, God wasn't lying to Abraham. God was testing Abraham. But God did say to Abraham in the Quran, forget the Bible, God said to Abraham in the Quran, kill your son.
Joe.
And no, I haven't finished, Chris. So when God said that to Abraham, God wasn't lying to Abraham. Yeah, God wasn't lying to Abraham. What God was doing was testing Abraham. So when it came to the point when Abraham believed in God and was about to fulfill what God had commanded, God didn't want him to kill his son in the end. So it was a
two separate issues.
Okay, Connie, let Chris engage. Please.
When he talks about Abraham, it has nothing to do because Abraham fulfilled what Allah told him. So let Chris.
No, he didn't. He didn't.
Let Chris. Guys, let Chris talk, please. Let Chris talk. Okay, Joe, that includes you too. Chris, go. Connie, stop. Let Chris talk.
So, Joe, you're saying that Allah can break his promise, then? You're okay with that?
No, he can test his promise.
Allah cannot break his promise. My next question, is an angel allowed to have their own free will, or must they obey Allah?
Not sure. They can have their own free will.
No, they can't.
Yeah, well, I'll explain why. Because they questioned the creation of Adam. So to question the creation of
Adam...
No, they didn't. I can show you right now in the Quran.
Only Iblis did.
No, I can show you right now. They question the creation of Adam.
Show my screen because let me give him from that.
I can show you the verse now. They question the creation of Adam. They ask God, why are you going to create something that's going to create bloodshed on the earth?
Okay, can you please read the Sahih Muslim where Riyadus Salihin actually took it? I highlighted the point.
Sure, got it. Never has Allah or his messengers, angels, ever broken their promise.
Okay. This is a hadith from where Riyadu Salihin actually took this hadith from. This is the same hadith, the same matan. There would be no change, almost give or take. So now the question is same. Please come to the right question. When Allah and His messenger, the angel, here the messenger means the angel, because messengers are called angels are called messengers in multiple locations in Quran. So when Jibreel did not come at the right point, time, appointed time, when Allah actually promised, obviously through Jibreel, because Allah never spoke to him, to Muhammad directly, he did not come at the right specific time, Allah did broke his promise.
No.
If Allah did broke his promise, he did. Come on.
No, no.
I agree with that point.
I'll let you finish.
I'll let you finish. So Allah did break his promise at that particular exact time, because the messenger did not reach Muhammad at that particular time. So why? That is the question. It has nothing to do. So basically, Allah breaks his promises. Full stop.
Okay. So I'll answer that.
Yeah,
with, well,
just
with
a second.
I'll answer that with a big capital after your full stop. So, as I said to you, that Allah does not break his promise, but however, he does test his prophet. And Muhammad is not the first prophet that he's tested. Moses has been tested throughout the scriptures. Abraham has been tested throughout the scriptures. So when it says Allah has never broken his promise, so that it doesn't mean that Allah won't say something. It says something with him, because Allah knows everything. He knows the unseen, he knows what's in the future, he knows what you're going to do, he knows us better than ourselves. So just because Allah tells you to do something.
Yeah, we're here.
Yeah, we're listening.
Yeah, sorry, I think I just cut out there. So even if Allah tells you to do something, and then later on asked you to do that as a test, that doesn't mean that he took his promise. And I hope that's clear. Now, the example was that I gave with Abraham was a perfectly
good example. Yeah, Joe, just before I keep going, I just want to point out your lie here. If you can go ahead and put up my screen here.
Yeah.
He said that angels have their own free will and that they're allowed to question God. If you go to actually Surah 66, verse 6, here it says that the angels, they do not disobey Allah in what he commands them, but do what they are commanded. Are you going against your own Quran now?
I'll give you the verse that I was referring to.
No, okay, if you want to say that your Quran contradicts, I'm okay with saying that. But in 66:6, it says that the angels do not disobey Allah in what he commands them, but they do what they are commanded. So, in the hadith that we're speaking about, Allah would have commanded Jibreel to go to Muhammad at a specific time. Why was that broken? Since we've seen Adam posted the hadith saying that your Allah and his messengers do not break his promise, we see a promise broken. How do you rectify that issue?
As I said to you, if the Prophet Muhammad believed that the angel Gabriel was going to come at a specific time because that's what he was told, and the angel didn't come at that specific time, that still could have been God's test. That doesn't change that.
Are you just making that stuff up?
No.
Where in the hadith does it say that?
Well, no, let me finish. I'll give you the example. We all know that Abraham told to kill his son.
And we're not talking about Abraham.
Well, no. The reason I'm giving this parable is for you to grasp the fact that just because God said something, just because God told Abraham to kill his son, it doesn't mean literally kill your son. So the reason I'm giving that example is not because God lies or God changes his mind or because God breaks his promise. No, that's not the case here. Just because the Prophet Muhammad believed Angel Gabriel was going to come at a certain time, doesn't necessarily, that could be God's test right there.
Yeah, what was the test?
I would have to look further into that, but for you...
Oh, so you don't even think...
Oh, you don't even know what the test.
Just like you said to me, Chris, that the angels didn't... that they just do as they're told. They asked, here is
the answer to your little example. God stopped Abraham's arm when he was coming down. God stopped him. Of course he told him to do it. He didn't say, I lied about it later, or he didn't do it.
Right.
You see, he stopped him himself.
Right.
So Abraham was actually doing it. He was going through the motions.
Okay.
So your example is null and void, my friend.
No, it's not null and void. I'm not explaining why.
Yes. No, I explained why it was.
And I'm explaining why it's not.
You can't have your cake and eat it too.
Your example
can't be taken the way you're trying to explain it, because Abraham was actually trying to do it, and God stopped him. This didn't have anything to do with Allah stopping anymore. He didn't try to stop anybody.
Ed, you're proving my point even more.
How can Ed be proving your point when it completely contradicts your point? Go ahead, Joe. Go ahead, Joe.
So when God said to Abraham, kill your son, Abraham believed that that's what he was going to do, even though God knew that that was not going to happen. So God made Abraham believe something that was never going to happen, but God told him to do that thing. Right.
Where does it say in the scripture that Abraham knew that that was never going to happen? Show that to me. Show it to me in scripture.
Well, because like you just said, he was just about to do it.
Show it to me in scripture. Where Abraham knew he wasn't going to kill his son. Show me that in scripture.
No, Abraham never knew he wasn't.
Just being dishonest.
Show me
that in scripture. You just made a claim, buddy. Back it up.
Sorry if I misquoted myself. What I meant to say was Abraham thought all along that he was going to kill his son. That's what he believed. He believed he was going to kill
his
son. Ed, let him answer.
Yeah, sorry, I misquoted myself. So Abraham believed all along that he was going to kill his son, even though God told him to do it. So God knew that that was never going to happen, but Abraham believed that to be true. So it was a test, wasn't it? It was a test from God. God needed Abraham to believe that to be true. And that's my point. God said something. He wanted him to believe that was true, but it wasn't.
Let me answer to this rather than anybody else. So when you take Abraham's example, God wanted Abraham to believe that he is going to kill his son. But God did not allow him to kill his son. So according to you, that is how Allah test. Now, same is the case. We will take the same logic. God wanted Muhammad to believe that Allah does not break his promise, but God allowed Muhammad to see that Allah does break his promise, and that was a test of Muhammad to see that Allah does break his promise.
Makes no sense at all.
He'll promise you something else, and then he will do something else, and Allah will break his promise. This is your logic. This is your reference. You are connecting these two dots. Hence, Allah does break his promise. He does exactly that. He told me, not me. Thank you so very much for proving this. Allah is a liar and he takes it from
me. You shouting doesn't make your point any better by you shouting it, by the way. All you've done is
by the way, I just proved it.
Just a minute? Hey, Joe. The story of Abraham and this hadith, there is no similarity between them completely. In Abraham, there is an order from Allah to Abraham to kill his son, whatever his name is, Isaac. But it's an order, okay? And Allah knows from his knowing for the future that Abraham will listen to him and he will do that. Then Allah knows that he will send a goat or something or lamb to save Isaac or Ishmael. This is a story completely different from his. There is no test here. It's a promise from Allah that he will send Jibreel to Muhammad at certain time. And in the same hadith, Muhammad said to Jibreel, why didn't you come to visit me? He said, because you have dog. It's clear. We don't need to divert or make excuses link. No, it's very, very complete different story.
Okay.
Very complete. Tell me the order that Allah, or the test, Muhammad.
Okay.
There is no test.
Okay. Hello, Mr. Prince, by the way. Yes, there are many tests throughout the Quran. Like I said, Muhammad is not an exception. If you know the test of Moses and the wise man. Let me finish, Mr. Prince. I'll let you speak. Let me finish.
Okay, his name's John. I would appreciate it if you'd address him as such.
Oh, sorry, John. Muhammad is not an exception with regards to tests in the Quran. Jonah was tested in the belly of the whale, and Moses was tested with the wise man. If God can say something, and he could make you believe something to be true, and it not to be true, this is not something new.
whether it's in the Quran or the Hadith, it's not something new to us as Muslims, and it's not something new to Christians as well. Within the Bible, there's many times that God has tested his prophets and said something, but then really it was just for something else. I don't see the big deal here. I don't see what your main point is. You're trying to say that Allah never breaks his promise, but then he broke his promise. No, that's not the case.
Hey, Joe.
DL hasn't said anything for 4.5 months. I would like to hear what DL has to say.
What is the test of Muhammad? Test of Abraham, we know it. The Hadith never shows any test. Making story for the Quran.
Okay, John, I'll tell you the test. Do you accept John? Accept God can say something, but it doesn't necessarily have to be true. So your sense is almost breaking his promise. So he's promised something and it's not there. Do you accept that?
What was the promise, though?
No, my point is this. I want you to answer this question before I carry on.
Answer the question.
You don't
answer
the question.
What scripture, Joe? What scripture?
In Abraham, yes, we believe it. But this Hadith, there is no test.
He's got the Hadith, though.
Yes, Joe, you do.
You wanted to come on and talking about Hadith, and now you're not being true. You're saying one thing and doing another.
No, what I wanted you to understand is just because God says something,
you didn't do a good job of getting us to understand anything.
Let me
ask you this question. What promise was associated with the test of Abraham?
What promise was associated with the test of Abraham?
Yeah, because you're conflating two things. Abraham being tested and a promise, which your Allah broke.
No. The reason I gave you that example is because Abraham believed something that God told him. But God knew all along that that was not going to happen.
Okay, so, but what was the promise? What was the promise associated with Allah testing Abraham?
No, it wasn't a promise. It was a command. He said to him.
Okay, so now you've injected another issue, a command.
No, okay.
First of all, you said you were going to come on here and explain to us what the Hadith meant because we had it all wrong. Right?
You have got it all wrong. Yes.
Okay. But the issue is did your Allah break his promise? Now you bring up an issue where you're talking about Abraham and his son.
Why did I bring it up?
You brought it up because, as Brother Devon said, you guys get busted with your own material.
What was the comparison? What was the reason for me bringing that up?
Because you failed to explain to us a Hadith which clearly states that your Allah broke his promise.
Okay, so you didn't see, so God saying, telling someone to do something.
It wasn't that I didn't see it, it's that nobody saw it.
So God's saying to do something, but knowing all along that thing was never going to be done, you can't see the comparison then.
Well, that's a promise. That's a command. That's not a promise. You're conflating an issue.
No, listen very carefully to what I'm saying. So for God to say something is going to happen, knowing that thing is not going to happen.
No, God didn't say that it was going to happen. He commanded Abraham. No, hold on. He commanded Abraham. Let's make sure we get this. He commands Abraham to sacrifice Isaac. Okay? It doesn't matter what Abraham believes. This is what the command that God gave Abraham. Abraham, to be honest with you, there's a lot of exegesis of Scripture say that Abraham believed that once he killed Isaac, that God would resurrect Isaac to him. But that's neither here nor there. But Abraham believed that he was going to kill Isaac. It wasn't until God intervened, stopping that he showed Abraham that he has the power to do all things. I agree completely. This is where you're conflating the two. You are conflating a clear promise by Gabriel to Muhammad to say that I will be there. And here's what I can't get, because they're supposed to be, well, angelic beings, let's put it that way. They're supposed to be above the fray. They're supposed to be able to exist and do all kinds of things. But here's what I don't get. in the house. You got a little dog is in the house. You have a family portrait on the wall. Are you telling me that an angel cannot enter into a dwelling? I mean, is this like some type of, what do they call that, where you do voodoo or something, where you put a hex to keep the evil spirits out or something like that? Are you telling me that anybody that wants to keep an angel out of his house, all you have to do is just put a family portrait up on the wall and that solves the problem? This hadith does so many different things. Number one, it shows that, yes, Gabriel Hill did break a promise. Number two, it shows that Gabriel is inept. If he cannot enter into a house because of a little puppy dog, then he is inept. And then the third thing is that this has nothing to do with Abraham obeying God. And you saying, well, God knew he was going to stop it. God didn't break his promise to Abraham. Okay.
I never said that God broke his promise. The whole point of that
one, I never said you did.
No, thank you. Just to clarify that, God said something knowing it was not going to happen. So that was my main point. And the second point with Muhammad, what was the test here? He clearly tested his patience. He was clearly very upset that the angel Gabriel didn't turn up. So it was clearly a test of patience. So if he truly believed something was going to happen and then it didn't happen, you could see clearly Muhammad was being upset there. And in context...
Yeah, that's a lie.
He doesn't say that in the text.
It doesn't actually say that in the text that he was upset.
No, it doesn't actually say that. So you're conflating the aspect of saying that it with the story of Abraham even. Because I know the story of Abraham, you're quoting stuff from the... You're referring to the biblical story of Abraham and Isaac.
I'm referring to the Quranic story.
So, no, can you actually... So yeah, so rather than actually, you actually bring up your source.
What, of Abraham?
Yes.
You want the verse in...
I want the actual source, because rather than actually quoting it, I'd rather actually see the source.
Oh, okay. Well, you want me to show you the verse where Abraham was...
The exact surah.
Okay.
Yeah, because it wasn't Isaac.
The thing is, it wasn't Isaac. In the actual Quran, is it sacrificed Ishmael rather than...
Hold on. Can you prove from the Quran that it was not Isaac?
Let Joe
answer on that. It is his Quran. So can you prove from the Quran that it wasn't Isaac?
But he can't even prove what this hadith is saying. He's got us jumping.
Yeah, but let him jump. I want that part as well. I would like that part.
We didn't get the first part.
Yeah, can he prove from the Quran that it wasn't Isaac?
Do you have a verse, Joe? Because I can pull the Quran up on the screen. Go ahead.
Yeah. Okay, let me pull my Quran.
What is it?
Guys, hold on. Let me pull my Quran up because I need to move a certain verses on this part. Eric, instead of your screen, can you please show my screen? Let me give him the
screen. My screen's better than your screen.
He's Googling, so let me give him the surah. Show my screen. He's already Googling.
There you go. How did you get that? That wasn't good. Just go and read the surah.
Okay, say, and when he reached with him the age of exertion, he said, "Oh, my son, indeed I have seen in a dream that I must sacrifice you. So see what you think." He said, "Oh, my father, do as you are commanded. You will find me if Allah wills of the steadfast."
What do you mean, where is the test? I don't understand. That's what you stated in the actual hadith, that was a test like the test that was given unto Abraham. And so what I'm kind of stating is, okay, in the verse, so can you prove that...
Sorry, Dominic, you've misconstrued. I wasn't given the comparison with the... I was given the comparison with God saying something. So for example,
no, but you
Allah didn't say, here, I'm going to test you, Abraham.
That is how
you're adding to the Quran,
no,
Joe.
I'm not. That is,
you couldn't even make your point with the Quran.
So you've just completely lied there. Only
you lied, Joe.
Well, no, I'll explain why I did
it. With the Quran.
As Muslims, we believe that the Prophet Abraham, right?
That's not a Muslim. A Muslim goes with the text of the Quran and the Hadith. You're off of Islam. You're not even speaking Islam.
Okay,
we're
speaking
Islam to you because we're showing you the text.
All right.
Can I prove that Allah was wrong and that Muslims actually believe it's Ishmael?
Yeah, Chris, go ahead.
They believe it's Ishmael. Yeah, the reason for it is because in Surah 101 is when, Surah 37, 101, it says that we gave him the good news of a forbearing son, and then it keeps going all over this. And then you get down to 37, 112, and it says, and we give him good news of Isaac, one of the righteous, which is Isaac, the progeny are some that do right and some that obviously do wrong to themselves. So it doesn't necessarily say that Ishmael is the one that was sacrificed. Actually, you can't even say that it was Isaac or Ishmael when it comes to the Quran, because...
Brother Chris, hold on. Let me ask Isaac. Let me show you why is it Isaac. Please show my screen once again. Okay. Your early tafsir writers, without any doubt, says that it is Ishaq. Ishaq is Isaac in Islam. This is Tafsir al-Tibri. This is Tafsir al-Tibri. And in Tafsir al-Tibri, without any doubt, he is mentioning that is Qala huwa Ishaq. It was Ishaq. If we go to Qurtubi, let me fix the Ishaq and Ishmael version first, and then you can go into further.
No, but here, what's the whole point?
What's Qurtubi,
the whole point?
He's getting there, Joe. Let him go.
May I finish, please?
Go ahead.
Hold on. So if we look at the Qurtubi, you will see that your early scholars, who the Ravi, Ibn Abbas, says it's Ishaq, Abdullah bin Mas'ud, who is the Mu'allam of Quran, says it is Ishaq, Abdullah, Yusuf bin Yaqub, they all say that it's Ishaq, the Zibia, the one for Zibia, and he is Ravi. And so basically there are five major Sahaba-i Akram in which Ali ibn Talib, who is the cousin of Muhammad and the fourth caliph, and Umar bin Abdullah, and Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, or Anha, they all, five major Sahaba-i Akram, without any doubt, فَهُوَ سَبْعَةً مِنَ الصُّحَابَ, the five major Sahabas, without any doubt, says that it was Ishaq, means Isaac. Tabi'in, there are 16 Tabi'in that he describes over here. They all agree to the fact it was Isaac. Why? Just like this clause said, that one verse before it says, فَبَشَّرْنَهُ, what? بِغُلَامٍ حَلِيمٍ, we gave him a good tiding of a forbearing boy. And verse number 112, the Bashar, but the Basharat is of, 112, the Basharat is of Ishaq, number one. Number two, this Basharat is of Ishaq. Number two, if you read the Qurtubi goes into over 12 pages in explaining that, over 12 pages. Qurtubi explains that because Ishmael was sent by Hagar, to another location in the desert. So, when the Quranic verse, 37:102 says that he was able to walk, min al sa'a, he was able to walk or perform work with Abraham. Ishmael was not even with Abraham. Ishmael was all the way gone somewhere else. Now, this was Isaac. Number one, you have to admit that your early scholars agree, Umar bin Abi Talib, Ali ibn Talib, and Umar, and Abdullah bin Mas'ud, who were the very favorite Muslim Sahabi after Muhammad. Now, can you please tell me, why did you name Ishmael?
Because he was because he's not in Islam. He's not reading al-Tabari. He's not reading al-Qurtubi. We are. We're reading these, Joe, to help you, to bring you out so that God, so that you'll see God and he'll save you, Joe.
Okay. Thank you.
Now, Joe, why did you send Ishmael?
Sorry?
I need the answer. Why did you send Ishmael? I need the answer.
Why did I say Ishmael what? Why did I say Ishmael is Abraham's son? I believe that Isaac and Ishmael are both God's children.
I don't care whether he was his son or not. I am talking about why did you use Ishmael? From the last 10 minutes, you were not saying the name of the son. Exactly how the Quran verse is saying. Suddenly you added Ishmael. Why and from which reference did you quote Ishmael?
No, excuse me. First of all, if you can ask me my intent. Wait a minute, Adam, you have this really terrible habit of making an assumption. If you believe I believe something, then ask me what I believe. Don't tell me what I believe.
I'm asking you.
No,
why did you put Ishmael in there? Can you please give me the reference?
Adam.
Which reference are you quoting to proclaim Ishmael?
Do not tell me what I do.
Well, answer the question, please.
That's exactly what you're doing with me. I believe Isaac and Ishmael are both Abraham's children. So what's your
point? I never said that. Did I claim that they were not children of Ishmael? Why did you claim Abraham took Ishmael for the Zibiha? Please, answer the question.
Why did I claim that Abraham took Ishmael for what?
For Zibiha.
When did I say that?
For sacrifice.
When did I say
you
that?
You put Ishmael in your sentence. It's a recorded line. Come on, it's recorded. It's live. Why did you use the name Ishmael?
No. What I'm saying is I don't remember saying that I said that Ishmael
was...
Okay, Adam, you spoke for a very long time, and to be honest with you, I think you'd like this interview and voice. I'll do is I'll explain it very, very clearly to you, my friend.
I
didn't interrupt you. My whole point was not the fact.
Let's just go. Let's let him. I get the end hominem. Sure.
My whole point was not that that God did not fulfill his promise. That wasn't what I was saying. It was the fact that God said something that he knew, that God knew himself never going to happen, that made someone believe that to be the case. Point blank, period. Do you understand that, Adam?
Show me in Quran where Abraham knows that this is not going to happen.
He fulfilled what
he was about to do. That is why I gave a long speech, because you don't even know the context, and I gave you the context.
Try again. You've misunderstood me. I'll repeat myself.
Okay, repeat and try again.
No.
Different words.
You tried to understand me this time.
Use the right words.
Okay, so my whole point was that God said something that God himself knew was never going to happen. So God said, kill your son. But God, not Abraham, God knew that that
was a promise.
No, listen carefully.
Was this a promise?
Okay, I can explain what the difference is. Adam, Adam, let him talk, because we're going to show the difference.
Hold on, Eric. So it was not a promise. You agree, correct?
Listen,
Joe, answer the question, please. It was not a promise, correct? It was an ask to a person. It was not a promise of God, correct?
Again, you're not listening to me.
No. You already said that. It's recorded line. I can rewind. You said yes, and Eric interrupted. Again, tell me, was this a promise to Abraham so that everyone will hear without interruption of anybody else? It was not a promise to Abraham, correct?
I never said it was. No, it was.
It was never a promise. Perfect.
No.
Thank you for saying the truth. Now, okay. When we are talking about Muhammad and the Hadith,
right.
Muhammad is proclaiming a promise of God, of promise of Allah. It was never a promise.
What was it? It wasn't a promise. What was it?
It was a promise. Yeah. No, it was an ask to a human.
No,
correct?
An ask. No, not
it was an ask.
It was a command. It was a command.
Okay, it was not a command, it was an ask. Anything which God says is already binding, called a command.
Adam, just for other people to understand, just for other people to understand. When I say Abraham was a Muslim, I don't mean that he believed in the Prophet Muhammad.
So he was a Jew.
When I say that, when we say Muslims, we say someone who submits himself to the
wisdom. No, you don't. This is a conflation of a term. It's just let's just go ahead. It's like a complete conflation of the term.
Question number two to you. Why a sacrifice of a human? is necessary by Allah.
Okay. Adam, you said a lot of things there. So just first of all, that verse that you just quoted, so Abraham's son said to him, right, and he said to him, oh my father, do as you're commanded, because the son knows when Abraham has a vision, has a dream, it's a command. So that point, I hope, Adam, you can swallow it, shish about it now, because when his son...
Do you think I have not read the Quran first before arguing? Do not tell me that. Let me finish.
Adam, please,
do not tell me shush up and do not tell me anything.
Thank you. Okay, no problem. But when Abraham's son says to him, do as you're commanded, that is a clear indication that the son knows whenever Abraham has a vision or a dream, it's a command. So I hope that clarifies that for you, right?
Okay, no.
Who said that? Isaac, Abraham's son.
Okay, there you go. You go. I know. We'll go over today. It's not a big deal.
okay? He has to find it. You guys can talk.
Well, the point that just keeps bothering me about this whole deal, you guys going back and forth about things that, I don't know, to me are pretty inconsequential. The fact is to go back to this original hadith that we were speaking of, that we had cited, is that Gabriel broke his promise to Muhammad. And when you look at why, I mean, he provides an excuse as to either, well, the reason why I did not come when I said I was, well, is because, you know, you had a dog in your house. Really, an angel of God cannot enter a house because you got a little. And it doesn't just say a dog. I mean, look at it says. It says a puppy, a little puppy. Now, how can? I don't.
And it doesn't even say it's a black dog, Eric.
Well, I don't care what color the dog. I get that. I understand where the verse, the hadiths talk about that. But what I can't get is how inept Gabriel can be. Okay, all right. Joe, go ahead. Go ahead.
So, just a quick one. So I was asked to quote a verse from the Quran where Abraham says he was a Muslim. So it clearly says here, verse 3, 67, Abraham was neither a Jew nor a Christian, but he was one inclining towards truth.
Adam, hold on. What was the verse again? 3 what?
6, 6, 6, 7. When I say that Abraham was a Muslim, it doesn't mean that he believed in the Prophet Muhammad, because he was way before the Prophet Muhammad. He was before Jesus and he was before Moses. So the word Muslim means someone who submits himself to the one true God.
So I'm a Muslim?
But you have to say the Shahada.
Wait, he will give the answer for that as well. So now, did I ask you the question where Abraham was a Muslim? Did I ask you this question?
No.
What are you giving me? I am telling you to tell me where Abraham, as a Muslim, does not have two distinctions of wajib and non-wajib, means the farad or sunnah. Can you give me the Quranic verse? Understand my questions before you give me the answer.
I understand the question, and to be honest with you, I'm very, very surprised you'd ask such a question.
Okay, please give me.
Let me answer it.
Give me the hadith.
What's the Quranic verse?
Right, if you give me 30 seconds to speak, Adam, without interrupting.
Can you go find it, Joe?
First, the verse of Quran and then speak. Of Quran and then speak.
No. I'll explain.
Please go find it, Joe. We don't want an explanation. Find it.
The reason the verse or the hadith does not exist is because Abraham predates the Prophet Muhammad.
Perfect. So guys, listen. Hadith or Quranic verse is not there. So there is no Quranic verse which says that for Abraham there are certain things which are commands as an order, and there are certain things.
Only American lady. Can I just address you for a second, just so I see if I can see if you can understand. Except for 10 seconds, right? Abraham predates Muhammad by thousands of years, so the rules set out for the Prophet Muhammad wouldn't have existed at that time. So
okay, what were the rules?
Let me finish.
Okay, all right. I'm going to post it in chat. I'm just going to tell you. It's ericthekifer@gmail.com. Let me post it in chat for you.
An example for Prophet Muhammad of Islam, that all his sons time, and he didn't come. And if you read the hadith, he asked Jibreel, he didn't say, because you are testing your faith, or you are testing your patience, he didn't come because he had a dog. This is not test. This is the comparison between a test and promise, and it's broken promise because of the dog.
Either way, Muhammad failed the test because it was a test of his patience. He was very impatient because he threw his staff down and freaked out. But anyway, thank you for joining, Joe.
Okay, yeah. And Joe, the thing is that Rad, I promised him time to do his presentation. We're going to talk about the Sharia. But I put my email address in the chat. It's Eric Thekifer. Hold on. Right there. There it is, right on the screen. Yeah, Eric the Kaffer, I know.
All
righty. Okay.
Thanks for coming, Joe. Thank you, everybody. God
bless. Okay, Devin, go. Go ahead, Devin. Devin, go.
I'll step back and listen to everything. He did not answer the question in the whole main
course
of the whole
deep.
Exactly right.
Thank you. That was amazing, man. That was awesome.
Jibril is an angel of Satan because he broke the promise, and Muhammad gave the criteria by saying, never does an angel or messenger of Allah break a promise. Now, I want to read a hadith real quick. It's real short. This is what you say to Muslims when they try to put their opinion in something, when something doesn't say what they are trying to say it says. This is a hadith, and it's by Ibn Abbas. Okay? None of you should say about a thing which he does not know. Allah knows. And when Allah knows that it is other than what he says, thus the person tries to teach Allah what he does not know. That is something terrible in Allah's sight. So what that dude was doing by saying if it was a test and it didn't say it was a test, he was including something into something that he did not know. And as that person just said, he did something terrible. So if you want me to give you this hadith, I can give it to you. Because whenever Muslims try to add their own interpretation,